Tonight, Mr. Melvin Douglas stars in Let Me Do the Talking from Studio One at CBS.
Look, duckling, forget this famous stuff. That's what's wrong with all you kids. You want everything. How about wanting nothing? The girl who doesn't want to be a movie star, doesn't want a husband, doesn't want money. You'll set a new standard for American women. The girl who doesn't want anything. And I'll be your agent. For free.
With a moment from Let Me Do the Talking by Richard Meland, we invite you to Studio One. A full hour of dramatic entertainment from radio's most celebrated playhouse. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Just for a moment, let me do the talking about Richard Meland's sprightly novel of the same name, which is tonight's story. It's a behind-the-scenes, inside-the-agent portrait of the literary business, air-conditioned for Studio One by Vincent McConner. And its main concern is a young man who came to be known as the Agent Gabriel. However, Mr. Charles Gabriel, bachelor, who moves with the speed of light through publishing and promotional circles, is better off introducing himself. And you'll hear from him in just a moment. On the matter of introductions, you don't need me to tell you about Mr. Melvin Douglas, whose distinctive talents are self-explanatory and who is impersonating the Agent Gabriel for us tonight. Principally involved also are Mercedes McCambridge as Bridget, Everett Sloan as Nat Peck Sr., Edley Rennie as Nat Peck Jr., and Martin Wolfson as Drew Dorfield. Please to begin.
And you think 125 grand's enough for a bestseller like Tourmaline?
Now look, Gabriel.
Wait a minute, let me do the talking. Hemingway got 150 for his last one, and that was when prices were lower.
But, Gabriel...
This book is today's number one bestseller. Today, not 10 years ago.
All right, Gabriel, what's your price?
I'm not setting a price yet. What's your offer?
I have to check with the Hollywood office and phone you back.
You do that.
Mr. Gabriel, it's 6:30.
I know, Sarah. Where's that contract for Doubleday?
Here it is. Just finished typing it.
Tuck it in my briefcase. I'll check it over in bed tonight.
What about all these manuscripts?
Put them in, too.
What'll I do with this one by
Which
Ms.
one's Folger? That?
Oh, the lady from Colorado Springs who writes about... life and love in old New England.
Oh, yes, that. Send it back to her with a letter. Keep on writing, but write about things she knows about. If she's ever in New York, which I trust is most unlikely, tell her to drop in for a chat. Scribble, scribble, scribble. You know what to tell her.
You're going straight to Mr. Dorfield's party?
As the crow flies, and I'm late now. Where's my hat?
Which hat do you want tonight, your Homburg or the light gray?
My mood is one of disinterested detachment.
That's the brown felt.
Right, the brown felt.
Here you are.
May I go now?
Good night, Mr. Gabriel.
Good night, duckling.
Another cocktail, Liz?
And he simply said to me, you go along to I.J. Fox, darling, and pick up anything you want.
Excuse me.
Well, hello.
Paul?
You know, this is why I like partying.
Why?
Something always happens. Somebody has a fight, or somebody spills information I've been trying to find out, or I meet somebody like you. What was you wanted to ask me?
Well, could you tell me, over there, isn't that Mr. Dorfield, the novelist?
Drew Dorfield in the flesh. Don't tell me you want his autograph.
I just wanted to know if it was he.
That's Dorfield, author of the nation's top bestseller, Tourmaline. Have you read it?
Not yet.
There are probably only two people in the crowd who have read it, the author and me. I read it because I'm his agent. What'd you say your name is?
Barbara Jean Mudge.
Barbara Jean Mudge. And you're from Middletown, Ohio.
Galena, Illinois.
That's what I said.
Well, everybody having a good time? Gabriel, here you are. I've got to talk to you.
Drew, this young lady wants to know if it's really you.
Well, of course it's me. How do you do, young lady?
How do you do, Mr. Dawson?
I'll leave it to the agent, Gabriel, to find the prettiest girl in the entire room.
Thank you.
Look, Gabriel, I've got to make like the host for another 10 minutes. Why don't you two go someplace quiet? How about that Russian restaurant next door? I'll join you there.
Shall we do that, duckling?
Oh, if you wish.
Fine. Meet you in 10 minutes.
What did you say your name is?
Barbara Jean...
Mudge, I remember.
Why did we take this cab? I thought Mr. Dorfield said he'd meet us someplace next door.
You'd be very foolish to do what Mr. Dorfield says. Drew's my client, but he's not a man to be trusted, not by a girl.
No?
He's married and has four children, one of them about your age. Dorfield's old enough not to want to treat you like a father or a brother.
Oh?
You say you're from Middletown, Ohio?
Galena, Illinois.
And you're in New York because you want to be an actress.
How did you know?
I always know. In fact, I can tell you quite a lot about yourself. You live at some hotel for women only.
The Three Arts Club.
And when someone takes you to 21 or the Stork Club, you write home about it. But more often, you eat at a cafeteria, alone. Am I boring you?
Oh, no.
I'm glad to hear that, duckling. It's wonderful to find a girl who listens. Here we are, my favorite hideaway, Joe and Rosie. Romance and ravioli. How's your daiquiri?
It has little pieces of ice in it.
That's the way it's supposed to be. We'll order food later. Prosciutto and melon. Maybe veal chops, parmigiano.
Oh, I don't even know what they are.
Well, it's time you did.
What about Mr. Dorfield? Won't he be worried when he can't find us?
Who cares? Playing tricks on Drew Dorfield is one of life's little compensations. Harmless tricks, of course.
You said you were Mr. Dorfield's agent.
That's right.
I never knew a literary agent. What do you do?
Never ask a man to tell you about his business.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Suppose he's a broker or a stamp collector. You'd let yourself in for a half hour of boredom. Did someone advise you to ask that question of a man?
No, why?
I just wanted to be sure for a moment. I thought you were going to pull that one about I must meet such interesting people in my work. I'm glad you didn't say that.
I didn't, did I?
No, you didn't. I'm glad that I'm entirely something new in your life. You're sure you don't want to know what a literary agent is? You're not just trying to intrigue me.
Who's that man?
What man?
Near the bar. He's been watching us ever since we came in.
That Wolf?
Hi, Gabriel.
Hello, Tony. That's Anthony Code, one of my clients. Used to be a foreign correspondent. Now he talks on the radio and writes a book every year.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Barbara Jean Mudge of Chillicothe, Ohio, has heard of Anthony Code. But has she read any of his books?
No, I haven't.
Well, let me tell you, publicity has made Anthony Code famous. Publicity, nothing else. He's a celebrity, and so Barbara Jean Mudge of Chillicothe, Ohio, would like to meet him.
You keep saying I'm from Ohio, but I'm from Illinois.
I beg your pardon. Don't tell me you're from Chicago, Illinois. You're not feverish enough.
Galena, Illinois.
Barbara Jean, are you happy in your career?
Well, I...
Is there anything that could be done for you by one who knows everybody and who has some influence?
Well, I don't know.
Are you in love? Do you want to be in love? And what were you doing at Drew Dorfield's party?
Oh, I just happened to be passing.
Passing where?
In the hall.
In the hall?
Yes, I go to a dramatic school on the same floor. And I was on my way home and a crowd of people got off the elevator and sort of swept me into Mr. Dorfield's studio.
You know what, Barbara Jean Mudge?
What?
I like you.
I'm glad.
I'm going to be your agent.
Huh?
For free, too. No commission. Just for love. Let me see now. What would you like to be? A glamour girl? Researcher for Time Magazine?
Uh-uh.
Or would you like to be a fashion scout?
I want to be an actress.
Of course. I forgot.
Like Helen Hayes, if it's not asking too much.
I don't think you'll be Helen Hayes for a long time yet.
Oh, I don't expect to be famous immediately.
I'm glad to hear it. You know, there are two things wrong with you.
Yes?
First, you don't really care whether you're an actress or not.
But I do.
Nope, you just want to be famous. That's all, famous. Well, that's easy. Take a gun and shoot me. Go over and sit on Tony Code's lap. You'll be famous. Look, duckling, forget this famous stuff. That's what's wrong with all you kids. You want everything. How about wanting nothing? That's it. What a beautiful idea. The girl who doesn't want to be a movie star, doesn't want a husband, doesn't want money. You'll set a new standard for American women. The girl who doesn't want anything.
I want to be an actress.
Oh, yeah, so you said.
What's the other thing?
The other thing?
Yes, you said there were two things wrong with me.
Oh, the other thing is the way you look.
What's wrong with the way I look?
You're just young, darling. Flat, insipid, colorless. No personality or character. Nothing but beauty.
Is that bad?
Bad? Do you know beautiful girls have a harder time than ugly girls?
Do they?
Men don't marry beauty. They're afraid of it. They think it's too expensive, too troublesome. We've got to tone your beauty down. More like Dorothy McGuire. Scruffy shoes, moppy hair, any old rag for a dress, no makeup. A hat that's been chewed for 3 days by a dog.
Well, I think maybe I have to go now.
Oh, what about dinner?
Well, it's getting late.
Look, duckling, don't worry about Gabriel. I talk wild, but I mean well. We'll have dinner, then I'll put you in a taxi, no passes, no tricks at all. And you'll save the dollar you'd have spent for dinner.
80 cents. All right, I'll stay.
Well, how are you, Gabriel?
Hello, Tony. Like to have you meet Bridget.
Hi, Bridget.
Hello.
Bridget what?
Just Bridget. Haven't you heard about her?
Not yet, but from the look of her, I expect to. And I'll be listening.
You'll do that.
Why did you call me Bridget?
Bridget's your name. That's why I change everybody's name. Now then, Bridget, I know a guy who's trying to become a big-time model agent. Monty Emmerich. All he needs is one really standout girl. Do you follow me?
I think so.
Bridget, do you approve of me? Do you like me, perhaps, a little? You having any fun?
I'm having a fine time. Only...
Only what?
I'm hungry.
Well, why didn't you say so, duckling? Let's eat. Let's eat.
Mr. Gabriel's office. No, I'm sorry. Mr. Gabriel isn't in at the moment. This is his secretary. Yes, I'll have him call Mr. Truesdale. Goodbye.
Morning, Sarah.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gabriel.
No cracks, I overslept.
Mr. Dorfield's phoned 3 times, said you ducked out on his party, and will you call him right away?
Remind me to phone him later. Anything else?
Collier's called about that short story. And did you notice a blonde young man sitting in the outside office?
Phone Monty Emmerich. I found a girl I want him to look at. Fix an appointment for tomorrow. Tell him I'll bring her over myself.
Who's the girl?
Curiosity.
Oh.
Sarah, take a letter. Dear Ben.
Ben who?
Remember Ben Groats?
I remember. 2 years ago, he ran out on you.
Yeah, remember? He didn't need me as an agent after I'd built him up and worked my elbows out wangling a contract for that lousy book.
Well, I certainly do.
Yeah. Well, I just ran into him on Park Avenue. Wants me to take him back. Can't get along without me. Okay, here we go. Dear Ben, it was a pleasant surprise, underline was, to meet you again after these many months. I've been giving our conversation a little thought. I'd be glad to discuss it further with you, except that scribble, scribble, scribble. Give him the thing about how busy I am, the demands in my time, scribble, scribble. You know, Sarah, make him feel good, but let him know I don't want any part of him. Mm-hmm. Now, what was it you said about somebody being in the outer office?
There's a young man, says he's Nat Peck's son.
I didn't know Nat had a son.
Well, he could, of course, be an imposter, calls himself Nathaniel Hawthorne Peck.
Well, show him in.
Oh, yes, Mr. Gabriel.
And call Monty Emmerich right away about that girl.
Right away, Mr. Gabriel. Will you come in, Mr. Peck?
Thank you. Mr. Gabriel?
That's right.
I'm Nathaniel Peck. I think you know my father.
Everybody knows Nat Peck. Sit down. What can I do for you?
Oh, frankly, sir, I'm looking for a business connection. Something in the agency line. Your name was suggested to me and
By your father?
No. Matter of fact, Dad wanted me to come in with him.
Well, why don't you? He's one of the biggest literary agents in town.
Oh, I couldn't, you know. That would smack of nepotism.
Why'd you come to me?
I've heard about you, how you'll get around, never miss a trick. I admire that sort of thing. Between you and me, Dad's a bit on the fuddy-duddy side, but I think you've got the most up-and-coming literary agency in the business. Frankly, I'd like to be in with you.
I'm pretty much of a one-man organization.
Well, that's exactly the point. I don't want to go with one of the big agents. It seems to me that with my talent...
What talents are you referring to, Mr. Peck?
Oh, contact work, that sort of thing. People like me, I'm told. I think I could bring you some newer clients.
You know anything about writing?
Well, I turn out a short story now and then, a bit of verse. And, of course, through my father, I've gotten to know most of the top writers personally.
Are you married?
No, sir.
You have an English accent. Why is that?
I was educated in England.
Mr. Peck, I've an idea I might be able to use you.
Really? Oh, I say that.
Only, let's not talk about it anymore today. I want to think about this. Suppose you drop back tomorrow, around this same time. We'll discuss it then. Right?
Right how?
Exactly.
Sit down, Mr. Gabriel. Sit down.
Thank you, Nat.
I didn't recognize your name on your phone. I've checked on you. You handled Drew Dorfield, right? And that bestseller of his, Tourmaline, right?
I handled Dorfield and approximately 30 other authors. Of course, my little business can't compare with yours.
Dorfield's the only one worth the trouble. He must bring in $20,000 a year.
No use trying to tempt him, Nat. Dorfield's been with me a long time. We're old friends, and he's not changing agents.
What's this you said over the telephone about my son?
He wants to come in with me.
Wants to spend my money buying in with you, And your money buying up all the nightlife in New York. I presume he's promised to hand a number of my clients over to you.
Why should I want any of your clients? I got all I can handle.
Well, then what do you want with me?
Look, Nat, I think I understand this problem. Your son has been a problem, hasn't he?
Well, yes, he has.
Frankly, I don't want him in with me any more than you want him in with you. I don't think he'll ever make an agent, but he might make a client.
Client? What are you talking about?
To take a lot of work, time, and money. I'm willing to put in the work and the time.
Oh, come to the point.
Point is, young Nat's a good-looking kid. On the lecture platform, he'd cut quite a figure with the women's clubs. He has a good voice. I believe I could make him into a personality.
Yes, what kind of a personality?
I'll have to give that a little study. work out something that could bring credit to your name.
And money to your pockets.
We might make him as famous as Admiral Byrd or Nature Boy. Of course, he'll have to write a book.
Well, the boy's done a little writing.
But this would need to be a really expert job. I'd like to borrow your man Gregory to do it. It'll have to be something solid. I'll furnish the ideas, tell the ghostwriter what to write. I'll also need your publicity department for the build-up and your influence to get the book published.
Mr. Gabriel, I've been an agent for a good many years, but I've never tried to sell talent where talent didn't exist.
How do you know your son isn't talented?
Well,
a little help. You keep Gregory on your staff to help your writers polish up their stuff. What do publishers have editors for, if not to help writers? Frankly, I can't see your objections. Of course, I could take the boy in with me, sell him a piece of my business, make him an agent. In time, I could teach him all the angles.
Now, hold on. I don't like your scheme, but I can't stop you from carrying it out. I can't dictate to Nathaniel either. If he wants to do this, he'll do it. But I do not want him in the literary agency business, either with me or with a competitor.
Then you won't oppose me if I turn him into a personality instead of an agent.
No, I won't oppose you.
And you'll let me have your man Gregory to ghostwrite your son's book?
Yes, you can have him.
Wonderful. Now, how about some lunch?
I never eat in the middle of the day. Good afternoon, Mr. Gabriel.
And a very good afternoon to you, sir. Including Gregory, his top ghostwriter.
I don't know how you do it. By the way, don't forget to phone Mr. Dorfield. He's been calling every half hour.
Any word from Hollywood about his book?
There's a wire from Joe Harris sitting right in front of you.
Didn't see it. Well, interest in Tourmaline, hottest firecrackers, view my campaign around studios, his campaign. Suggest we set asking price around $300,000 and settle for $250,000. He suggests.
Well,
my efforts to sell book have caused terrific excitement. His efforts. In view of this, believe we should split 50-50. Well, I'll be a little Tommy Tittlemouse. That's Santa Monica's sunbather. Take a wire, Sarah.
Oh, I certainly will, Mr. Gabriel.
Mr. Joseph Harris, Hollywood. Dear Mr. Harris, get that mister. Book excites studios because number one bestseller needs no build-up. Stop. I have not yet and probably never will appoint a Hollywood representative for this book. Stop. I am exclusive agent and will set price when I am ready to do so. Stop. Sign it, Gabriel.
You're pretty mean to him. He's helped you through some nice picture deals.
Well, all right. Take out the mister, but let the wire stand as is. No, add one more line. What's got into you, Joe? That'll let him see I'm still a friend, but he better not go too far.
You may need him before you're through with this deal. If Hollywood wants Dorfield's novel, every agent out there will be trying to cut you out.
Well, maybe you better call Dorfield back. Tell him I've been out of town all morning or out of phone. Ask him to have dinner with me tonight and...
I thought you'd be here.
Uh-oh.
Why wouldn't you talk to me on the phone?
Dorfield, I was just telling Sarah to call you. Ask you to meet me for dinner.
Where have you been all day? I phoned a dozen times.
Had to run down to Philadelphia. Conference with the post people. Only just got back.
I'll send this wire, Mr. Gabriel.
Now, what is it, Drew? Anything wrong?
Oh, wish I knew. My nerves are shot. Been like this all week.
Well, sit down. Relax.
I can't. I've got to pace. Got to work things out.
The book's gotten you down, hasn't it?
What are you talking about?
Look, Tourmaline's a bestseller, but we both know it's a potboiler.
It's nothing of the sort. People like
it. Sure they do. Everybody likes it but you and me and the critics.
All right.
Drew, why don't you take a good solid year on your next book?
What next book? I may never write another. There's not an idea in my head.
What's really worrying you is what I just said. Tourmaline's a potboiler, and you don't like to acknowledge it.
Tourmaline's the number one bestseller. I sweat blood on that book. It's no masterpiece, maybe, but it's certainly not a potboiler.
I say it is.
You know so much about writing. Why aren't you an editor or a publisher?
I'm an agent, if you don't mind.
Well, why don't you write something yourself? I'll tell you why. You can't, that's why. You don't know what it takes to sit in front of a sheet of paper and make people come out of it. You haven't the foggiest idea what it takes.
Maybe not.
Money. That's all you think of. The agent Gabriel. He's only interested in making me go on writing so he can get his commission. That's all you care about. Well, why don't you say something?
Pot boiler.
I know it is. You're the only one who tells me the truth, and I hate you for it. You even steal that girl from under my nose. What did you do with her? Grabbed her for yourself.
You mean the one at the party? Bridget? She's my client.
Client, my eye. I never yet saw a woman writer with that kind of looks. What's she ever written?
She's not a writer. Bridget is a model.
Gabriel, you're a genuine rascal. You know that, don't you?
Sure I do. Come on, I'll buy you a drink and tell you about Bridget. It's quite a story. hope none of my clients see me. Riding through Central Park in an open barouche. Moonstruck.
I've wanted to do this ever since I came to New York. Only I could never afford it.
How long have you been in New York, Bridget?
This is my second year.
You think you're getting anywhere?
Well, my teachers at the academy say I could take a small part in a play. Somebody'd only give me a small part.
Bridget should never take a small part.
Are you going to call me Bridget all the time?
Why not? It fits you. It's a healthy name. Like pigtails and apple-red cheeks and new-mown hay. You couldn't be a star if you were Barbara Jean Mudge.
But don't I need a last name?
Zorina doesn't. Annabella doesn't. Hildegard doesn't. Haven't you done something to your hair?
I change it all the time. I like to be different people.
What perfume do you use, duckling?
Just soap. That's all. I don't like... What was that for?
That was for getting it over with. I knew I'd want to kiss you sooner or later. If the subject comes up again, we're over the first hurdle, see?
I see.
Bridget, can you sing?
Well, what does that have to do with your kissing me?
I am in a mood to hear some singing. I can't carry a tune myself. You sing, don't you?
Not very well.
But actresses oughtn't have to sing.
Well, I don't know the words to most songs.
Oh, that's too bad.
There's an old Christmas carol. I think I could remember.
Go ahead, remember.
I haven't thought of it in a long time.
Think of it.
Not since I was a little girl. I don't know what made me think of it now.
Sing it to me, duckling.
I learned it in school. My father always liked to hear me sing.
Good Lord, do I remind you of your father? Is that why you remembered it?
Oh, no, my father wears glasses. He runs a hardware store back in Galena.
Never mind about your father. What's this song of yours called?
Oh, well, it's The 12 Days of Christmas, I think.
Go ahead. Sing it.
Well, it starts like this. On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love sent to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
That's a very funny song.
It's not supposed to be. Maybe it's the way I sing it.
No, I like the way you sing it. Go on, sing some more.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love sent to me three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
I was wrong, duckling. That's not a funny song. It's a very sweet song.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Oh, darling, the song's wonderful. And so are you. What do you know?
Well, I know something's changed you. That's what I know.
Sarah, I'm humdrum this afternoon. Can't you invent something with a different flavor? This whole office is humdrum. What's the matter?
I wouldn't know, Mr. Gabriel.
When's Bridget coming in?
Who?
Bridget. You were supposed to call her and tell her we're seeing Monty Emmerich this afternoon.
Oh, and Miss Mudge will be here at 4:30. Young Mr. Peck's here now with his ghost, Mr. Gregory. They already knew each other, so I didn't have to introduce them.
If Bridget comes before they leave, put her in one of the other offices. I'd rather not have her run into young Mr. Peck.
Why not?
Well, Bridget's a very young girl. I just don't like the boy's charm. You fell for it yourself.
I did not.
I saw you. So we'll just keep Bridget away from Prince Charming, understand?
Ooh, she be something special to get you so worked up.
No, she's just an ordinary girl, Sarah. Quite ordinary. Now, wait a minute. Maybe you can tell me something.
I doubt it.
What happens when you take a girl like that and make her into some other kind of a girl? For instance, who would you rather be like if you were not yourself?
What?
I'm serious. Who would you like to be if you weren't you?
I'm not complaining.
I know that. I wouldn't have you any different, believe me. But you'd like to be different, wouldn't you?
I would not.
All right, so you won't play. Well, tell me this. Who do I look like, Pygmalion or Svengali?
Who are they, ballet dancers?
Oh, as I mentioned before, it's a humdrum day. Show Mr. Peck in and his ghost.
Yes, Mr. Gabriel.
And keep Bridget out of that boy's way.
Ah, hello there, Mr. Gabriel. How are you?
Sorry I had to keep you waiting, but there was a call from Hollywood. Sit down. How are you, Gregory?
Not too bad. I can't say I wasn't impatient waiting out there, wondering what you decided about me.
All right. Here's what I've decided for you. I'm going to take you on.
You are?
But not as a member of the firm. Nope. I'm going to handle you. Make you a personality.
Right, Joe.
You're going to be bigger than John Gunther.
Who am I?
We're going to do it together. You and I, and you too, Gregory.
Glad to help.
Gregory, I read that last job you did.
General Holcomb's memoirs?
Wonderful, wonderful. Don't know how you did it. You caught the old boy's spirit better than he could have done it himself.
Well, thanks.
And you're going to do the same thing for our boy.
What am I supposed to write?
That's what we have to decide this afternoon. Now, first, we'll do a magazine article. Something with dynamite in it. Something we can plan in Curio Magazine. That'll attract all the book publishers. If it's sensational enough. And I got it.
What?
You'll blast American education. That's the idea. You're an American who was educated both here and abroad. So apparently you'll know what you're talking about.
Yes, but you see, I'm
you'll blast the low salaries paid American teachers, the standardization, the Ivy-covered nonsense of our universities.
Yes, sir.
You'll praise British education, start a first-class controversy.
But I really didn't like school in England.
So what? After this magazine article, you'll do a book. You'll go on a lecture tour, like Anthony Coate, all those women's clubs.
Oh.
What do you think, Gregory? Can you do a job on this?
Sure, I was in England once. Went to Shakespeare's birthplace.
There's your inspiration. Couldn't ask for a better inspiration than that.
Well, I'll write the magazine article tonight.
We'll plant it in Curio Magazine tomorrow. Then come the headlines. Now, let's see, what do we call this article? Something with a wallop.
Yeah.
Now, how about this? The Great American Moron.
Not bad.
That's it. Every kid knows what a moron is. That's what we call it, boys. The Great American Moron. Well, now, Monty, this is Bridget.
Hello, Bridget.
Hello.
I brought her to you as I said I would.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you like her look?
What's her last name?
No last name.
Why not?
Showmanship, Monty, showmanship.
So what do I do with her?
You take her on, you put her through the hoops, you let her make you famous.
I am.
According
famous.
To you. Sit down, Bridget. You handle some classy models, Monty, but you're not in the really big time, right?
Gabriel, one girl won't put me in the really big time.
One girl will if she's Bridget. And I'll tell you why. Don't mind the shop talk, duckling. It concerns you.
I'm listening.
Monty, people would like to see character in their beauty. Not rubber stamps, but a real human being. You're going to make Bridget a symbol of the plain Janes of America. There are millions of them, girls who do the best they can with what they got.
But she's not plain. She's a knockout.
Of course she's a knockout, but she prefers to be plain. If she were really plain, we'd get nowhere. But we only say she's plain.
Oh.
Yeah, I've already got Tony Code curious about her. We'll plant her first pictures in Life magazine. Drew Dorfield, the novelist, will introduce her on some radio show. You'll have a ready-made celebrity in your hands, Monty. Then comes the final irresistible touch. We'll say she's reluctant to do any modeling. That'll make your customers fall all over themselves to get her. What do you say, Monty?
What can I lose? We'll photograph her tomorrow.
I knew you'd take her on, Monty.
She's okay, this girl. I like her.
I like her, too. Don't tell her, Monty, but I like her a lot.
I heard what you said.
Never believe anything you hear, duckling, especially when you hear me say it.
Then you didn't mean what you said?
I meant it, all of it. But just the same, don't you believe a word of it.
From Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you are hearing Melvin Douglas starring in Let Me Do the Talking, A version for listening by Vincent McConnor of the Richard Meland novel. Studio One will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. From Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Melvin Douglas stars in Fletcher Markle's production of Let Me Do the Talking by Richard Meland.
All right, Sarah, this is it. The Tourmaline Telegram. Send a copy to every major studio in Hollywood.
Yes, Mr. Gates.
Drew Dorfield finally agrees to following terms on number one bestseller, Tourmaline. Stop. $400,000 for 7-year lease. Stop. $300,000 for 7-year lease. Stop. Address all communications to Charles Gabriel, 247 Park Avenue, New York City, who is sole and exclusive agent. Signed, Gabriel. Be sure to send a copy of that to Joe Harris.
Yes, Mr. Gabriel.
That'll show him and every other agent in Hollywood who's running things. Sarah, you know what? You can't trust some of these agents. But Gabriel... $300,000 is a lot of money. Well, what's the matter, Dorfield? Don't you want it?
Well, of course I want it. Can you get it?
It may take time, but I'll get it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I think I'll go up to Great Barrington for a week.
You gonna start that new book?
I don't know. I hope so.
Well, let me know when you find out. Sarah, what's on my schedule this afternoon?
Mr. Code phoned while you were out to lunch.
I'll call Tony later.
Oh, and here's a wire from that woman out in Colorado Springs.
What woman from what Colorado Springs?
Ethel Folger, spelled with two F's. The one you told her to write about things she knows about.
Oh, and what's her trouble?
Well, she says, your encouragement has inspired me to start new novel about the Black Hills. Stop. We'll bring first draft to New York for your opinion and advice.
Another visiting authoress who will want to see Oklahoma. Send her a wire. Delighted to learn you are starting new books. Scribble, scribble, scribble. You know, anything else?
Young Mr. Peck's waiting to see you.
Nathaniel, send the boy in.
Yes, Mr. Gabriel. Come in, Mr. Peck.
Thanks, Etta. Well, Gabriel, looks like we've done it.
Done what?
Don't tell me you haven't seen my article in Curio magazine.
Oh, that. I saw it yesterday before it hit the stands.
They've even printed my picture.
That is what is known as the buildup. Any reactions yet?
Yes. I've been asked to speak for a class in writing at New York University, and I'm to discuss what's wrong with American university life.
Well, that should be worth a few headlines.
Somebody phoned and asked if I had an agent. When I told him you were, he just hung up. I think he was an agent, too.
Good boy. What about your father?
Oh, I saw Dad this morning. He thought the article was awfully good. Seemed very proud of his offspring, for once.
All right. Now, you and Gregory want to get started an outline for that book.
Oh, yes.
Expand the magazine article. Compare British public schools with American private schools. Blast all those antiquated textbooks. Yes, Sarah?
Miss Mudge is here to see you.
Who? Oh, Bridget. Well, all right. Send her in. One of my other clients, you don't mind.
Well, of course not.
Oh, Gabriel.
Come in, Duckling.
Why didn't you tell me life was going to have my pictures?
Too? Matter of fact, I forgot it.
Hey, well, here, just look at them.
This is Mr. Peck, Bridget.
Oh, how do you do, Bridget?
Hello, Gabriel, how do you like them?
Well, life seems to have done all right by you.
Are all these pictures of you?
Yes, 3.5 pages. Oh, Gabriel, I've had the most exciting day. I didn't know my pictures were in the magazine until the people at school started calling me the cliché kid.
Young model demonstrates everybody's favorite cliché.
Yes.
These are splendid.
Do you think so? Oh, what about you, Gabriel? What do you think?
Not bad. Look at you, Duckling. Tickle pink. Pretty as a picture, higher than a kite.
I tried to reach you, Gabriel, but I kept getting so many calls at school that finally they wouldn't let me use the telephone anymore.
Who called you? Anybody important?
All kinds of people. There was one man wanted me to meet him at City Hall, 3:00, get a marriage license.
Yeah, the usual crackpots.
And somebody even phoned all the way from Hollywood.
Yeah, who?
Somebody named Dow.
Al Dow. He never sleeps. What'd you tell him?
To call you.
What'd he say to that?
Well, he said you're old friends.
We're old enemies.
And he wanted to know if I was under contract to you. And I told him I wasn't under contract to anybody. And then he got excited and asked me to come out to Hollywood.
So you told him you'd be right out?
Oh, don't be silly.
If it wasn't too much trouble, I'd fly out there and punch him in the nose.
Well, you two, it looks as though you're on your way to fame and fortune.
I certainly hope so. For both of us.
Nathaniel, you get Gregory going on that book. We'll sell it to a publisher from the outline. I'll come down and hear you talk to this writing class at NYU and then lay out a speaking tour for you.
Good.
Bridget?
Yes?
We'll see what offers start coming in as a result of this life spread. I'll get you on a radio program next week, maybe a part in a Broadway show.
Oh, Gabriel, you're wonderful.
Oh, me? I haven't even begun to start yet.
Brings out the gypsy in me.
I'm glad.
Gabriel, is anything wrong? You aren't saying much tonight.
Bridget, why wouldn't you want to go to Hollywood?
And leave you? Don't be silly.
So that's it.
Well, there's Mr. Code coming in.
Every place we go, we run into Tony Code.
Hi there. Well, young lady, I saw you in life today. Wonderful picture.
Thank you.
Wonderful girl.
Gabriel, I've an idea for a radio show I want to talk to you about. Phoned you at the office.
Meant to call you back, but got involved.
I'll drop by and see you one day this week.
You do that. You do that.
See you in the magazines, Bridget.
I hope so. I like him.
Tony's all right.
I like you, too. Even if you are so quiet tonight.
I'm too happy to make any noise. I don't think I've ever been this happy before.
I want to make you happy always.
Nobody's always happy.
Oh, I think I am. But then I'm so crazy about just being alive that sometimes I think I can't stand it. Sometimes I think I'm not entitled to it.
Everybody's entitled to it. Haven't you read the Constitution? Only there are 10 million different ways to be happy. I like it this way.
I like it, too.
Another daiquiri?
No, not just now. Gabriel, is anything bothering you?
No.
I never knew you to be like this before.
I've been trying to decide something.
About what?
About you. I don't know what to do about you.
Oh, I want to help.
Bridget, I'm very fond of you.
I love you, Gabriel.
Not so fast.
Why not?
Well, it's not supposed to be done so quickly.
Oh.
I love you, too, but that's different. I don't think you ought to love me. You see, my whole life, my business, my habits, everything's against marriage for me. You ought to fall in love with somebody who's... Oh. What was that for?
For you.
I thought you didn't like to kiss in public.
I don't. Anybody but you.
I see what you mean. Look, how about coming up to my place after dinner?
Your place? I've often wondered where you live.
I have a suite in a hotel across from the office. I have some wonderful records.
What kind of records?
My favorites are the 3 B's.
What are they?
Beethoven, Brahms, and Bridget.
All right. And then after dinner, we'll listen to music.
That's my girl.
Whoa, so this is where you live. Plush doorman and everything.
Nothing but the best. Let's stop at the desk and see if I have any messages.
Good evening, Mr. Gabriel.
Hello, Eddie. Got anything for me?
Yes, your secretary's been calling all evening.
Sarah?
She's on the line now.
Thanks. I'll take in the booth.
Yes, Mr. Gabriel.
Oh, this doesn't sound so good.
What doesn't?
Something's up, or Sarah wouldn't be in the office at this hour.
No music tonight?
Wait till I talk to Sarah, see what's up. Here we are. Hello?
Mr. Gabriel?
Yeah, Sarah. What is it?
I've been trying to reach you all over town.
I know.
Happened the minute you left.
All right, let's have it.
Well, first of all, Ned Peck, the elder, wants you to meet him for lunch tomorrow.
The man who never eats in the middle of the day?
Well, he seems mighty anxious to eat tomorrow. I'm to let him know if you can make it.
Sure, I'll have lunch with him. What else?
Marion Roberts called from Hollywood. Says she's worried about her husband, and she's walking out on her contract unless the studio makes her a senior writer.
I'll phone her in the morning. Is that all?
No, and this is the most important. Drew Dorfield's been calling every half hour. Has to talk with you tonight.
I thought he was up in the country working on his new book.
He's here. And he's been locked up all afternoon with some big shot over at Tower Pictures.
What?
They've made Dorfield some sort of an offer for Tourmaline.
Dorfield can't sell his book without me.
He's waiting in his studio to hear from you.
Well, I'll go right up there right away. Anything else?
Oh, there's a lot of other stuff, but nothing that won't keep till morning.
All right, thanks, Sarah. Good night.
Good night.
Well?
You heard?
I heard.
No music tonight.
No music.
Maybe some other time.
Maybe.
But how'd they get hold of you, Drew? I thought you were up in the Berkshire.
Came back this morning. Ran into Carter at 21. He's Tower Pictures' Eastern Story editor. And had lunch with him.
And after lunch, he casually said, let's drop up to the projection room and look at one of our new films.
How did you know?
How did I know, he asks. I know this routine backwards. When the lights come up, there was this butterball sitting alongside of you. Carter introduced him to you, Vice President Ace of Tower Pictures.
Before I knew it, I was in the guy's private office.
Yeah, that beautiful pickled oak office. With Mr. Ace sitting in the center. Well, what'd you promise him?
Nothing, Gabriel, not a thing. I told him you were my agent and he'd have to call you. He wouldn't do it. But he offered me $100,000 for the book.
Peanuts! Didn't you tell him we're asking $300,000?
He said we'll never get it.
Sure, we'll get it.
He said his was the only company that would make an offer. He said none of the others has yet. Is that right?
It's too soon. I only fixed the price yesterday. Come on, what else did he say?
He raised his offer to $110,000. So I wouldn't have to take your 10% out of my money.
Why, that big...
Ace says they won't pay a penny more.
We'll see about that. Where'd you leave it?
When Ace found out I wouldn't commit myself, he agreed to see you and discuss it further. He'll be in his office tomorrow morning at 10:30.
And I'll drop in to see him at 11:30. That ought to show him. Hello, Ace?
Come in, Gabriel, come in.
You know why I'm here?
Yes, indeed, and I'll come right to the point. How much do you want?
Why did you go behind my back yesterday?
Sit down, Gabriel. What are you talking about?
You know very well I'm the sole agent on Tourmaline, and Dorfield can't make a deal without me.
Uh-huh.
Your company received a telegram from me naming our price, and that's still our price.
Oh, you agents, you're all alike. This is a free country. Why shouldn't I talk to Dorfield? Do you want to sell Tourmaline or don't you?
What are you offering?
Me? I'm not offering anything. What do you really want for this book?
$300,000.
I told Dorfield yesterday, I'll tell you now. We'll give you $100,000 and throw in an extra 10 for your commission. That stops. If you don't want it, we're wasting time.
Well, in that case, I'd better run along.
Yeah, but what?
I got a luncheon date with Nat Peck. The old boy doesn't eat in the middle of the day, but once every 5 years, and I wouldn't want to keep him waiting.
Now, look here, Gabriel.
$300,000.
$200,000.
$200,000.
That's as high as we'll go.
Well, I'll have to think about
$200,000, that's final.
I'll let you know.
When?
After I've heard from Paramount, MGM, and a couple of others.
Now then, Mr. Gabriel, what would you like?
Scotch and soda, Matt?
I never take anything until later in the day myself. The waiter will be here in a moment. Say, I hear you're asking $300,000 from the picture people for the Dorfield book.
That's right, Matt.
You think you'll get it?
I just had an offer of $200,000 from Ace at Tower Pictures.
Well, are you taking it?
Not yet. What do you think of your son's magazine article?
Well, the boy has a lot to learn, but it did him no harm. It was brash, but magazines ought to be brash once in a while. Stir things up, get people talking. Frankly, Gabriel, I never realized that the money I spent on Nathaniel's education would ever show a return. I want to thank you for that. You were quite right about him.
Mr. Peck, your son and your ghost are outlining a book. I think I'm going to be able to place it with George Dickery's firm.
Well, excellent. You know, Gabriel, I've been doing some checking up on you.
I thought you would be.
I find that you run your office with an extremely small overhead.
Well, yes, compared to your outfit.
You handle 30 or 35 clients, and yet you have a staff of only 3 people. A secretary, 1 reader, and 1 legal assistant.
Something on your mind, Matt? Why this questionnaire?
Well, I'm getting old, but I don't want my agency to get old. I've got some good people on my staff, but I've an idea that times are changing.
They always are.
I need someone who can change with them. I need a new spark plug. And I like the way you work. I like the way you brought out Nathaniel's ability.
Yeah, I'm kind of proud myself of the way your boy came through.
And I like the way you're selling Dorfield's novel to Hollywood. It all convinces me that you're the man I need, if you're interested in
it. Oh, a year ago, I might have been.
And then you're not interested now.
No. Sorry.
That's what I like about you. Never any indecision. Well, Gabriel, my offer stands if you change your mind. Now then, where's our lunch?
We haven't ordered yet.
Oh, that's right. We haven't.
And so I got Mr. Race to raise his offer to $200,000.
My favorite agent is the Agent Gabriel. That's more than I've ever gotten for any of my books. When do we sign contracts?
You don't, not yet.
Why not?
We're waiting for a better offer.
Better off? Are you crazy?
We're going to get $300,000 if I have to fly out to Hollywood.
But Ace said we'd never get
$1,000. He's already offered more than that himself. Let me handle this deal my way, and I promise you we'll get $300,000.
Well, I hope you know what you're doing.
I hope so, too. This has been a wonderful day.
Yes, I know. You were wearing your pork pie hat when you came in.
I've set Bridget on a big radio show next week. By the way,
Mr. Gabriel, what else happened today?
Old Nat Peck offered to take me in with him.
You're going to do it?
What do you think? I'm flying too high on my own. This afternoon, George Dickory agreed to publish Nathaniel's book, and Tower Pictures have offered $200,000 for Dorfield's book.
Well, it has been quite a day.
And it's not over yet, Sarah. There's more to come. You won't forget to phone Bridget.
No, Mr. Gabriel. I'll phone her right away.
Tell her to meet me for dinner.
The usual place?
Yep, the usual place. Duckling, I've got so much I want to tell you.
There's something I want to tell you, too.
Yeah? What's that?
I don't like it, Gabriel.
Don't like what?
Any of it. The posing, the publicity, all of it.
What's this?
No, I hate my pictures in all those magazines, and I hate people staring at me. Please get me out of it, Gabriel, please. I don't want to be a model. I just want to be me.
But you once told me you like to be different people. We had a great plan, remember? I was to make you into the girl who didn't want anything.
I guess maybe I already was the girl who didn't want anything.
Well, this suits me perfectly. I'll cancel everything. Photographs, publicity, radio show. It suits me just fine.
Then you aren't angry?
Angry? I'm the happiest man in this big city. I told Sarah this has been a wonderful day, and it wasn't over yet. And I was right.
Oh, I'm so glad you're not angry.
Look, duckling, there was a special reason why I had to see you tonight.
Was there?
I changed my mind about marriage.
Oh, from what to what?
From pro to con. From con to pro. I'm no longer against it.
I'm glad to hear that.
I'm serious. You and I are going to get married.
Oh, Gabe.
Don't tell me you're surprised.
Oh, yes, I am. You see something?
I should have realized how it was weeks ago.
Yes, you should have, Gabriel, because...
I must have been out of my mind when I told you I didn't want marriage. I never had wanted it until now. The truth is, I need you, Bridget. I find myself during the day thinking of how I'm meeting Bridget for dinner. I need you, darling. I'm no good without you.
What made you change your mind?
You. You've got everything I like. Everything. Oh, I want time with you, Bridget. Lots of time. We've never really been together. There have always been interruptions.
Oh, here's Nathaniel.
See what I mean? I thought Nathaniel was talking to some women's club up in Westchester.
Oh, I asked him to meet us here when he was through. I hope you don't mind.
I do mind. I mind very much.
Hello, Gabriel.
Go away, boy. Go write a book.
Well, how's my Bridget?
Who's Bridget?
Oh, Bridget. I call her Bridget.
Aren't we cute?
Have you two ordered dinner?
No, you're just in time. Pull up a menu and sit down.
Thanks. I stopped in at the apartment for a clean shirt. Dad said he had a talk with you this afternoon, Gabriel.
That's right.
Did he say anything nice about me?
Nothing you don't know already.
You had a client of yours at the apartment.
Client? What client?
Mr. Dorfield.
Dorfield? What was he doing there?
I don't know. Something about his book. Selling it to Hollywood.
Well, I'll be... So Nat Peck's getting in on this. You can't trust anybody. If he thinks he's going to horn in on...
Hi, Gabriel. How's my pal?
Go away, Tony. I'm in a bad mood tonight.
Oh, sorry, old boy. Dreadfully sorry. And how's little Bridget?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks.
You're Anthony Curl, aren't you?
That's right.
My name's Peck, Nathaniel Peck.
I know who you are.
Gabriel, didn't you say something yesterday about Mr. Curl writing a foreword for my book?
Yeah, it was just an idea.
I'm doing an expose of American education, you know.
Yeah, that should be good.
I've never written a book before.
Well, don't.
Mr. Curl, if I write a book, Would you do a forward?
I'd do anything for you, baby, but I wouldn't write a semicolon for your boyfriend, Peck.
Hey, what's really? The matter with you, Tony?
Gabriel, I'm beginning to think you can't see very well, especially if something's right under your nose.
What kind of a crack is that?
Am I to understand, Mr. Coward, that you won't do a forward to my book?
Yes, and you can understand this, too. Pay off Gabriel's girl.
What are you talking about?
Yes, what?
Gabriel's a pal of mine. Best pal I got.
I'm sure he is.
Matter of fact, you have a good mind to push your face in.
Yes? You and who else?
Me and nobody else. Like this.
Go, go, go!
Gabriel, I was surprised when my butler said you were here.
I'm sorry to bother you in the middle of the night, Mr. Peck, but I had to talk with you.
I changed your mind about my offer?
No, it's something else.
Well, sit down, sit down.
I'd rather stand.
All right, then I'll sit down. What's on your mind?
Drew Dorfield. I just left your son. Nathaniel mentioned that Dorfield was up here with you this afternoon.
That's right.
Why?
Oh, don't trust me, do you? Or Dorfield either, hmm?
Dorfield's my client and you're an agent. I think I got a right to know what's going on.
Well, certainly, my boy. But you ought to know me better than to think I'm doing anything behind your back. As for Dorfield, you have to handle him yourself.
I'm listening.
Well, it's very simple. Dorfield called me after dinner, asked to see me. We have mutual friends. I tried to reach you, but couldn't.
What do you want?
Advice, chiefly. He was very upset because he thought you had botched the movie deal on his book. He proposed that I try and get him a better offer.
Why, that dirty conniving...
Now, 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 don't judge him too harshly. He felt that you weren't handling the book properly, that you'd never get $300,000.
I'm still listening.
I told him I wouldn't touch him with a 9-foot pole. I told him he was lucky to get even $200,000 for such tripe and that you were doing a fine job.
Yeah?
I told him that he was being a spoiled and stubborn child, that agent jumping is highly dishonorable, and I, for one, would not be a party to it. I think he'll behave now.
How do I thank you, Ned?
Oh, I don't want any thanks. Just remember to keep my offer in mind.
I'll do that.
Well, going to the wedding tomorrow?
What wedding?
Well, my son's getting married. Didn't Nathaniel tell you?
Well, no. Jim must have slipped his mind. Who's he marrying?
Well, I believe the young lady's a client of yours. Charming girl. Calls herself Bridget.
Bridget?
Yes. Charming girl.
Bridget's marrying your son?
Tomorrow afternoon at City Hall. I got the license several days ago.
They did? I'd better be going. Good night, Dad.
Good night, boy.
Thanks. Thanks for everything.
I think I like this headline best. Writer socks writer. Anthony Code fights for girl in nightclub.
I've seen them all.
Nice publicity. The Tribune was the only one that printed your name, and they buried it at the bottom of the story.
That's where it ought to be. Sarah, send some flowers to Bridget. Roses. Lots of roses.
You think maybe that will make her feel better?
I guess maybe she feels pretty good. She's getting married this afternoon.
Why, Mr. Gabriel! Congratulations!
Not me, Sarah. She's marrying Nathaniel Hawthorne Peck, Jr.
Oh, the poor girl.
What do you mean, the poor girl? She'll be happy. She's in love with him.
So's he.
You send the roses and no cracks.
Yes, Mr. Gabriel.
Now, what's on the schedule for today?
Well, there's another wire for Marion Roberts. She says unless you talk to her studio, she's walking out.
I wish I could get out there. I'd work out a new contract for her, sell the Dorfield book, and tend to a lot of other stuff.
Miss Folger is waiting to see you.
Who's Miss Folger?
Remember? Spelled with 2 F? From Colorado Springs? She's brought the outline of her novel to discuss with you.
You mean she's here?
Sitting outside. Twice as large as life.
If she wants me to take her to Oklahoma, I'll show her in.
Yes, Mr. Gabriel. Come in, Miss Folger.
Oh, Mr. Gabriel, after all these months, we finally meet.
Well, well, Miss Folger, this is a very great pleasure, Miss Folger.
I'm going to be in New York for 2 weeks, and I hope to see a great deal of you, Mr.
Excellent,
Gabriel.
Excellent, excellent.
As a matter of fact, I'm staying at your hotel.
Well, is what?
I had no idea until the bellboy told me.
Oh, dear, a most happy coincidence.
I asked him how to find your office, and he said you live there.
Well, I shall try to make your stay in New York as pleasant as possible. Is there anything special you'd like me to do?
Oh, yes, there's one thing. There's a Broadway show I've heard so much about.
Miss Folger, Oklahoma is closed.
Oh, I know. It closed 2 weeks ago. I mean, Mr. Roberts.
Well, I'll see what I can do about tickets. Suppose we have dinner together tonight. Talk about your book.
Oh, that's wonderful. Some quiet place. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Here, let me open the door for you.
Oh, but thank you.
I understand your new book's about the Black Hills.
Yes. Life and Love in the Old West, seen through the eyes of a tiny child.
Well, well, that should be different. What are you calling it?
You won't laugh.
I haven't laughed all day.
Well, I'm taking my title from an old Christmas carol. You've probably never even heard of it.
That's very likely.
I'm calling my book A Partridge in a Pear Tree.
Three French horns, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Why, you know it.
Yes, Miss Folger, I know it. I know it very well. Well, you hurry back to the hotel and dress for dinner. I'll pick you up there at 7.
Oh, that's wonderful, Mr. Gabriel. I'm looking forward to this, my first night in New York. You and Mr. Roberts. See you at 7.
Sarah, come in here.
Yes, Mr. Gabriel? Anything wrong?
Give me a seat on the next plane for California.
What?
Phone Drew Dorfield. Tell him I'm flying to Hollywood to sell his book. Wire Marion Roberts. Tell her I'm coming out to fix up her contract.
Yes, Mr. Gabriel.
And don't forget those roses for Bridget.
No, Mr. Gabriel.
Put a card in them. All good wishes. Scribble, scribble, scribble. You know what to say.
How long will you stay out on the coast?
I don't know. Maybe a month.
Well, what about Miss Folger? Didn't you tell her you'd have dinner with her?
Phone her at the hotel after I've left. Tell her I was called out of town. Tell her I've gone to see Mrs. Roberts.
From Studio One, you have just heard Melvin Douglas in Fletcher Markle's production of Let Me Do the Talking by Richard Neeland. Another full hour of dramatic entertainment from radio's most celebrated playhouse. Tonight's script was especially prepared for this series by Vincent McConnor. The original musical score was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. And now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer present the principals in our cast tonight. In the foreground,
Charles Gabriel.
Was played, of course, by Mr. Douglas, adding another exciting performance to his current film hit, Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House.
Bridget.
Was played by Mercedes McCambridge.
Nat Peck Sr.
Was Everett Sloan.
Nat Peck Jr.
Was Hedley Rennie.
Drew Dorfield.
Was Martin Wolfson.
Sarah.
Was played by Hester Sondergaard. Grace Coppin played Ethel Folger, and Gregory Morton was Anthony Code. Actively assisting were John Merlin, Alan Devitt, George Breen, and Ivor Francis. Next week on Studio One, we're going to bring you one of the classic stories from English literature, The Return of the Native by Thomas Hardy. This remarkable portrait of human emotions is set against the bleak moors and curious superstitions of the English countryside. It's the story of a young man who returns home from Paris and falls in love with a girl whom the people of the countryside suspect of witchcraft. And to play the role of the returning native, we are delighted to welcome an old friend back for a return engagement on Studio One. He is the international star of stage and screen, Mr. Michael Redgrave. We hope you'll be with us. And so until next week, to old Michael Redgrave in The Return of the Native, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
is a good time to ask some questions about our public schools. You might start by asking the children who attend them. Ask them if their schoolrooms need painting or other repairs. Ask them if they have enough textbooks for every class. Do they have enough teachers, or are their classrooms overcrowded? Let's do something during the coming summer months to help improve conditions in our public schools. This is Lee Vines, and this is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.